You're listening to Breakthrough with AJ Barrera.
Hey guys, welcome to Breakthrough. I'm your host, AJ Barrera, and I got my special co-host,
Jennifer. How you doing? Okay, so we are talking to Ruby Freeman today, guys. She is a transformational coach and a Reiki practitioner, and she is determined to help others release their toxic patterns and reignite their happiness. She lived a very destructive life, and now she's loving her life, and she has a lot of positivity. Ruby is here to talk to us about how we can attract more love and positivity in our life. She's going to give us tips to love and accept who we are, and also encourage you to stop receiving less than you deserve.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Ruby, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
You know, you have an amazing story to share about how you became the person that you are today. And a lot of it is, you know, the backstory. A lot of people want to know your personal experiences and, you know, how can we be relatable to you, or are we relatable to you? And I think you can relate to many, 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 many people out there. And do you mind sharing your story?
Not at all. So for the majority of my life, I suffered from depression, ranging from clinically depressed to manic depressive states. I also dealt with anxiety and was overly medicated in my early 20s. I had my first marriage in my early 20s, and I was extremely unhappy. I ended that marriage, walked away, and that was my first taste of freedom that I had ever really experienced in my life. What I did with that freedom was I abused it. So I began experimenting, going out, meeting new people. I got into the nightlife industry, and I became very successful in it. In my hometown of Vancouver, Canada, I was one of the top female promoters for years. And for me, that was this huge, it felt like a huge breakthrough. Like, I was always used to being really shy, always used to being made fun of, always used to being picked on. That was the girl I was. I wasn't this super popular girl that everyone wanted to be friends with. So I got really wrapped up in that scene. I started experimenting with drugs. I was drinking a lot, but I never, ever thought for a second that I had a problem. Because to me, an addict is someone who is constantly drunk or constantly high or constantly stoned. And I was only drinking, you know, 6-5 days a week and doing drugs 4-5 days a week. Wow. So to me, I didn't think that
it was normal.
I thought it was normal.
And you were functioning.
I was functioning. Yeah. And it was almost like I made it part of my job, because right. I would have to be at the nightclubs till 3-4 in the morning.
It comes with the territory, right?
Exactly. And what I've come to realize is I'm actually quite the introvert. And during those years, I was forcing myself to be an extrovert just to be what I was.
That's kind of came with your job duties too, right? You had to get out there. You had a lot of anxiety of talking to other people.
Yeah.
And do you think that you were self-medicating just to have some of that courage or extrovert? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because liquid courage.
Right.
Very much so. And that's why it felt like it was never an issue. And everyone around me was doing it. And it just felt like it was normal.
Right.
And so I'd have fun. I'd party all night. And it was, you know, honestly, I would feel like I was having the time of my life. And then the next day or next afternoon or sometimes even the next evening, I'd wake up and I would cry for 24 hours straight.
Wow.
And I wouldn't leave my apartment. I wouldn't talk to anyone. I was making my depression so much worse with substances. In my relationship world, I was never really good at relationships. And I can look back and say that now. And my relationship throughout the years progressively got worse until I found myself in what I call my most emotionally abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally abusive, verbally abusive, and I put up with all of it. And the day I walked away from that 4.5 year relationship, so this is a really interesting story. I found out that he had been cheating on me for 4.5 years.
Wow.
And throughout the 4.5, now you guys are probably wondering, well, you had to have known. Of course.
No.
I knew.
I had a sense.
But you also trusted too.
Exactly. Because when you're with a person.
You trust what people are telling you.
Yeah. And when you love someone, you will trust them when they say, no, that didn't happen.
Of course.
And so I did that for years, but then it was right there in front of me in black and white on the computer. And it wasn't just one girl. It was dozens and dozens of people. It was people I knew. So in one day, I found out not only had my boyfriend been lying to me for 4.5 years, but my best friends.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I went home.
Yep.
And I did the unspeakable for me. I actually mustered up some power, which I didn't know I even had, packed all his stuff, and kicked him out of the home. And that's a big deal for me.
Yeah.
Because I was not that person. I was that person that would always try my hardest to please my partner. I was the person that would literally cry on my knees begging for forgiveness when the other person did something wrong.
Of course.
But it's almost like you found your power in that very moment. In some
no,
sense.
She just got fed up and she was like...
No, I think the power was
right?
found.
It
was,
well, that's what I mean.
It was like fed up. It's in black and white. There's no denying it.
Right.
You can't be lied to anymore. What do you do with that information? It gave you strength.
Yeah. I couldn't lie to myself anymore.
Right.
And it was in that moment and in that time frame of the breakup and kicking him out that I realized, holy shit, I did this. I created this.
Why?
I chose to stay with him for 4.5 years.
Yeah,
when,
but you were being manipulated too. So how will you really even know the truth between what logic is and what you're creating and what you're feeling or whatever, right? Because you were being told lies, but you thought that they were the truth, and also being emotionally manipulated to believe that you're crazy.
Sure. But here's the thing about that. And I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to be really, really blunt. And I can talk about this way because I am that girl.
Absolutely.
So people will manipulate you. You can choose to believe those manipulations. And I know there's a lot of people that are going to be pissed off about that comment, but I was that girl that chose to believe it. And all the time, that whole entire time, all those years, I had a choice. People would tell me. People would bring me evidence.
See, that's pretty intense. Yeah.
When the person that you love the most in life tells you day in and day out, I am going to break you, there's something wrong. But I chose to stay. Right. So for anyone...
Did you guys ever have a falling out before that?
Oh, yeah. I had broken up with him a couple times before. And
which is also kind of a red flag, right?
Totally a red flag. If you've broken up with someone, if you find yourself fighting, if you're fighting more than loving, okay? And if the fights are escalating to a point where it is dangerous to your right. emotional and spiritual well-being. I'm not just talking about, like, you have to be physically hit. We can be energetically hit by people.
Yeah.
And that is not healthy.
Absolutely. And then there's one.
I think it's worse.
Well, also, I mean, you recently posted it up on your Instagram, which was negativity versus, I forgot what it was.
But
it was
almost like behaviors.
Right. And it was about like, you know, the voices that were being spoken. It's almost like you were hearing these thoughts. Were it people telling you, or was it your own thoughts saying, like, I'm not worthy enough. I wasn't good enough. So I think it's when we hear these things, it breaks us down even worse. And we feel this is what we are.
Exactly. It breaks down your self-worth. It shatters it down. And then we've got this subconscious mm-hmm. level within us that is actually secretly seeking out these types of relationships because guess what? That's what you think you like. Are worthy of living.
Mm-hmm. Like attracts like.
Exactly. And this is why I constantly was going after these men because it wasn't after that relationship. I didn't learn my lesson right away. I kept going back.
You broke the pattern, but you had to, you know, keep retrying, right?
Yeah. And I was really looking for love in a lot of the wrong places. And I was dating a lot right after that breakup and constantly gravitating towards men who were either emotionally unavailable or men who chose to not be available to me.
I am not a psychiatrist. but I think that a lot of women, you know, how they always say like you marry your dad or mm-hmm. whatever, which, you know, I have a great father, but I know that there are also out there. A lot of people have a distance between their father. Is that anything that relates to you or you have a really good relationship with your?
My relationship with my family is great. There's been cultural differences because they're mm-hmm. Like a first generation in Canada, but we've had a great relationship. I actually, when I think back to how much they've supported me throughout the years and how much they've been there for me, they haven't liked what I've been doing.
Right.
There's been times where we don't talk for a long time, but it's because I chose to not talk to them because I was ashamed of what I was doing.
Right.
Right.
And
I couldn't go home It was like, you know, a puppy with its tail between its legs. I didn't want to, because I knew what I was doing was wrong.
Right.
And the men I would bring home, I mean, okay. If your family, like, I mean, every single member of your family isn't
This is like loving your partner. This is like Inside Edition stuff right here. Yeah. Like the best stories.
Okay, so that's another red flag.
Yeah, it's a huge red flag.
And then your friends didn't like them either?
And my friends didn't like, I mean, I'm going to say them, because there's been guys that I've brought home and there was always something off for my family and for my friends. Like there was always comments made like this doesn't feel right, or they wouldn't gel with the family. They wouldn't gel with my friends. Mm. And for me, it almost angered me, and I'd get really pissed off at my family for accusing them, you're not being open, you're not being inviting.
Right.
But they were trying their best. It just wasn't gelling. And if the energy doesn't match up there is a real issue. So if you find yourself in a relationship where everyone hates your partner, you really should think about it. And I know it's easier said than done, but this is advice coming from someone who's lived that over and over again.
That could be tricky though, right? Because some people could be jealous, no?
No, I mean,
some people just, their perspective is skewed, right? So like, they could be a completely divine person for this individual, but the family's just like, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
you know what I mean?
Well, for me, I can talk about my personal experience. I mean, I was in a very toxic relationship. I mean, you even knew the person yourself, Jennifer.
And yes.
It was so bad for me. I had my blinders on. I was like a horse. Like I was just going in the moment, just doing my own thing. And I think I went through a point in my life where I even binge drank and so on and so forth, where it would like things kind of hit this depression mode for me. And it was almost like
your coping mechanism.
Yeah. And it was almost like my way to step back and focus on that. And at one point in my life, it was just, truly was one of those moments. And, you know, she was doing her own thing. She was working and so on and so forth. And I remember waking up the morning, like in the middle of the night, she wasn't there. Mm-hmm. She wasn't in bed. She left everything at the house, never came back. So there's a part of it that I realized, like, holy crap, like what she has done is she released me from that energy. And I did not see like how toxic it was, because all my friends and family started not talking with me because of her and this and that. And, you know, I started getting like more private to who I was because of the situation. And I realized that I was just a bad person in that state of mind. And I thought it was my fault.
Yeah, I was going to say, but did you contribute to it at all? I mean,
well, yeah, I think it takes
you
two.
You have to own your own shit, right? That's what you were saying,
absolutely.
Too. Accountability is huge.
But I learned from that, and I didn't go out and date like immediately. What I did for about like, I think 9 months or maybe 12 months, and I ended up meeting Jennifer within those 9-12 months afterwards. And I realized like, holy crap, like, okay, I don't want to get in a relationship. I had to understand what lessons do I learn from this, and what did this thing teach me? And I realized that, you know, I was either lost. I was a bad person. I didn't know how to love enough. I did not know how to accept things. I don't know. There was a lot of things that I had to study who I was as a person. And then my whole perspective of life and spirituality changed and this and that. And so as things kind of evolved then, I kind of look back and say, you know what? Kind of thank you for that. Thank you for kind of putting me in these situations. Thank you for making me aware of what love can truly be. And then I ended up falling in love with Jennifer, who is now my wife, and we've been together for, I think, what, 7 years or so? Been married for about six months.
Six months on Friday. No one's counting, though. Right? No, that was in 2007, and it reminded me, too, if I can just piggyback, I want you to tell me whether or not you were sober at those times when you were in those relationships, Ruby, or was that after you got sober? And then I'll come back to you, AJ.
I got sober after
Okay, yeah. Got it. So you were just in a self-destructive pattern, behaviors, everything was just, and then everyone that you were attracting into your life, probably for the party, fun people, right? Fun boys or whatever. But I just wanted to, you know, kind of.
Yeah, but I was also seeking them out, subconsciously seeking them out, right? Because when I would spend time with people who were genuinely really good, loving people, because I had those people in my life.
Right.
I would feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Because I knew what I was doing wasn't matching up.
It wasn't worthy. Like you didn't feel worthy.
I didn't feel worthy to hang out with them. And that's, AJ, it's like what you said about being like reclusing and just hiding away. If you find yourself in that place where you're not socializing as much and you're almost like a recluse and you're not.
That is a depressive state of being.
Definitely.
Too, right?
It definitely is.
Okay. Well, are we going to take a little break here and come back?
Yeah, we are going to go to the phone lines and we're going to take a call here and we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Breakthrough with AJ Barrera.
All right, we are going to go phone lines. We got Christina from Massachusetts on the phone line. Hi, Christina. What's your question? How can we help you?
My question was just in the relationship that I'm currently in.
So tell me a bit about this relationship.
We've been together 10 years. We are married in kind of turmoil. So my gut tells me no. But since we do have a child in between, it's kind of a hard decision for me to make.
Yeah, it gets really difficult when we have kids involved and we tend to argue with ourselves and argue with our intuition a lot. Yet you're saying your gut is telling mm-hmm. you that you should leave.
Yeah.
What is making your gut tell you that you should leave?
I guess I've just never been, my happiness is not towards, I guess, me. I feel like I'm not being fair to myself.
You're not honoring yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel as though you haven't been honoring yourself for a while.
Yes.
I can sense the frustration in your voice. I can sense the sadness in your voice and in your energy. And how I always like to approach things is to trust your intuition, to trust your gut. If you are questioning a relationship, and if you are finding that you are constantly questioning that relationship, there is a reason. Now, there's also that point where we ask ourselves, have I done enough? Have we
yeah.
tried enough? Is that something that you're struggling with?
Yeah, I haven't. I feel like I've tried other mediums to try to make it work, and I just feel like it's already out of my hands.
So when we get to that point where we can't seem to find our way back, it's really hard to put back the pieces of that puzzle. Because it's almost like they've been swept away.
That's exactly how I feel.
Okay.
Like there's nothing to fix.
So, Christina, I have a feeling that you have the answer within you already. And what's holding you back is fear.
I think that's a lot to do with it.
Yeah. And there comes a time in our lives where we really have to step up and honor ourselves and honor our love and honor and respect the people around us, like your children.
Yeah. I guess I think it's harder because I came from a split family, mm-hmm. and I think that's a lot that weighs on me more, not really how, I know she'll be fine eventually, but I think it's more like my guilt of me not providing that for her.
Yeah, exactly.
But don't, and if you don't mind me interrupting real quick, do you think that part of it might be part of her own ego kind of influencing her, telling her like, don't be this way, don't do this, don't do that? Because I think sometimes when we have the ego step in, we have to kind of allow the edge to kind of step out at the same time. So with you, I'm not here to tell you, like, stay with the person or get out of the relationship, but I think that's the true affirmation you got to figure out for yourself and set the intention. Like, is this the right thing for me? And if your heart and your gut is telling you, like what Ruby said, there's a gut feeling that is there, I think you need to go with it and also understand with it. Second of all, you need to either go get some sort of professional help, counseling, things of that nature. So it doesn't mean to immediately go to like a psychic, a medium, a self-help coach, a transformational speaker. It's what's going to empower you and what's going to make things right. But if you're throwing in the towel and going to say, this is it, I'm done, I'm over with it, that's either one, part of the pity, or two, part of kind of like the lack of commitment that you choose to emphasize. But also the part of it is taking the acceptance of the situation. So are you accepting for what's going on? Are you being committed to the relationship still? So there needs to be a balance that needs to happen here. And I think you may not so much lost the sight of it, but I think things have been very cloudy in your heart, not in your mind. You understand that?
Yeah.
And so the part where how things need to kind of evolve with you and grow with you is looking within, like looking within the soul, within the mind, within the body, and figuring out what is the self-love game plan? How do we figure this out? And how do I get to the next level to kind of see like, this is a good relationship? Now, did you say you're still married or you're still in this relationship?
Yeah, we're married.
Okay. Now, in an honest question, do you want to stay in the relationship?
Honestly, no.
Okay. So, what do you say about that, honestly? Like, what's your honest opinion?
Honest opinion. You've already just said
the
answer.
Yeah, you just answered it.
You've just said the answer. And I think the more that you seek outside help and opinions on this mm-hmm. matter, the more confused you're going to make yourself. You're doing this, you're reaching out, you're constantly asking people because of your fear to actually step away, your fear to walk away, your fear to honor yourself.
I think you just answered your own question, basically, right? You had to ask that direct question, Ruby, and then you answered it yourself. So I think you just have to make sure that you have enough strength within yourself to know that you can, you know, move on from this and grow.
Yeah.
But you have to think about yourself first and your kids.
I agree. I think I always put myself in the back burner and I'm always worried about everybody else. And I think I'm getting to that point in my life that it's starting to hit me.
Well, here's the thing, Christina, and you know, I don't want you to kind of walk away and feeling like you did not receive your answers, you did not try, you did not do things right. But the most amazing part is that you have your kids that are involved with you. You will always still have that love that it will be given to you. So if you're looking for love and looking for people to kind of give you that support, your kids will give you nothing but an unconditional love. We are running out of time here, and we want to let you know, we want to thank you so much for being part of the show. And we hope that this, you know, session here with Ruby and us gave you this a little bit of a breakthrough and an awakening to help you move forward in your life.
Yeah, I think I just needed to adopt it myself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Christina, you have a good day.
This is Breakthrough with AJ Barrera.
We have a couple things that we want to go into, and one of them was Jennifer had a question that she wanted to ask Ruby regarding...
Well, no, I was actually, well, maybe it'll obviously segue, but back in 2007, it's kind of interesting, AJ, when because we knew each other maybe like 2 or 3 years before that. But I think the odds, or maybe no odds at all, that there was some divine intervention going on in my life and your life at that time where we both broke away from really, really toxic, you know, relationships. And it's funny because I don't think we realize that. Well, gosh, I guess it's kind of tricky. We don't realize we're not loving ourselves because we're in this toxic relationship, but yet we start to believe sometimes what they're saying to us. And for you, AJ, I know that there's just probably kind of like a commitment problem or whatever. I don't even really know the details. I just know that we found, you know, by divine love each other.
I think it was really just that smile.
But thank you.
It was those eyes.
But you know, it's funny though, because I think that if you just let go of the past and you let go of all that toxic stuff and you do actually realize what your worth is, and then I think the universe either sends it to you or you create it. You know, I think no one really knows which one it is. But
it's like the chicken or the egg.
But I think for me, I knew that those people weren't like going to be my boyfriends forever, or my husbands or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like I've only felt that once in my life. But how do you think that people could recognize the lack of love for their self? I mean, how can you visibly see that? Because sometimes you don't even know that your happiness is triggered by somebody else and that you could have more freedom if you're just alone, you know, or whatever that looks like. But how do you know that you're not practicing self-love?
That is a really, really great question because it's not something that we really think about. When were we taught self-love growing up? We weren't. We were taught how to take care of people. We were taught how to love other people.
Right.
We were taught how to respect other people. Where did that piece come in? How to respect ourselves, how to love ourselves, how to take care of ourselves, you know, real self-care. For me, what that looked like was when I would be single in between all these abusive relationships, I struggled with happiness. I really struggled, and I really struggled to feel loved, and I would look to other things. I mean, it could be food, it could be drugs, it could be other toxic people, anything to fill what I felt like were physical holes in my soul. I always compare it to like a piece of Swiss cheese. You have these holes, and they're there, and you desperately try and fill them with whatever other people, men, women, drugs, alcohol. Even things like numbing out, watching TV for hours on end.
Right.
Being a hermit within your apartment. Whatever it is, you're just trying to fill those holes within yourself. So if you find yourself trying to fill holes, that's when you know you're lacking self-love. When you find yourself doing activities that fill you with love, going to yoga, maybe that makes you feel really good.
Right.
Going for a run, does that make you feel really good? Eating really healthy, cooking. Whatever it is, if you have activities in place in your life that you do on the regular.
For yourself,
that make you feel good.
Now, if you don't mind me jumping in here real quick, What advice or tips that you can give to our listeners regarding maybe perhaps the relationships that they're going through that may be toxic, or maybe certain behaviors that they have but they can't quite see? I mean, obviously they can sit down with someone such as yourself, but mm-hmm. as something in this very moment, just like a little glimpse, like, hey, you can do this, but this is how we can get you there. Like, what advice can you give to people?
So if you find yourself in a place where you're just unhappy or feeling stuck or feeling miserable, really take a moment to reflect on your life. Are the things that you are doing, are the activities that you are partaking in, are they bringing you joy or are they bringing you down? I think that's a really simplified way to look at what you're doing and to realize if these things are actually toxic. Because if they're bringing you down, they are toxic.
Now, is there ways that people can bring in a new relationship? Not by searching for it, but is there a way that they can do it by working on themselves? Is like, are there certain techniques or steps that they would have to do to kind of say, you know what, I'm self-worthy enough to be loved again. I'm appreciated enough to kind of have my freedom still and not say it's my fault. Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of it is part of that, what do you call it, acceptance that is mm-hmm. part of there. But what are some ideas or some tips that people can say, like, this is where I can move past this issue and say, like, this can help me think more positive of who I am as a person. Mm-hmm.
Can I piggyback on that?
Absolutely.
And also, we...
And I love how you raise your hand in the studio, too. Yeah,
did anyone shout out, like, in the classroom? You had to raise your hand.
You should see. And this is so sidebar real quick, but, you know, it's like, me and my wife are, like, we're just hanging out in the backyard. She'll raise her hand like she wants to talk. I'm like, let me know. But go ahead.
I think I've been pretty good about it. But when I get excited, I tend to interrupt people, not because like I want to be talking, but it's just because I get excited and I might forget the thought, which I'm almost did, but bringing it back. You know, when you're talking, we may be talking to people right now who are in abusive relationships. Let's just throw it out there, right? And you're constantly, or have been, and you're constantly being told what you're not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. How the hell do you convince yourself that that's not true? How do you love yourself when all you've heard for 10 years or 20 years or whatever
was
the complete opposite of what you are? Someone trying to hold you down so that no one else will ever be able to have you.
Right.
That kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, because you find yourself in a place where you're so beaten down that anything feels exhausting. Anything. Anything you do that would take you away from what is now your new normal. It feels exhausting. Change feels exhausting. The idea of change will feel exhausting. I get the idea of it,
but the freedom you get with change is amazing.
Absolutely.
But that's not what people are thinking when they're in that moment. And I know that because I've been there. And people, when I post about these kind of things on my Facebook, people still get mad at me because they're like, you don't understand. I'm like, no, girlfriend, I understand.
Right.
Okay. I understand better than anyone else.
Right.
So you're in that place right now and everything feels difficult. Stuff I'm saying probably doesn't feel real. And I'm here to tell you that it is real. But don't get so wrapped up in all the little details of self-love, learning to love yourself, having to do these different things. No, the first step is walking away. If you are in an abusive relationship, the first step is walking away. Don't worry about anything else.
And don't believe you are in one too, if you really have all the signs there too, because we could self-talk and say, oh no, I'm crazy, right?
Yeah. And if you find yourself doing that, constantly talking to yourself, like saying, oh no, things are okay. If you find yourself battling with yourself, there's an issue. And you know that there's an issue because when you wake up in the morning, you got to trust that first feeling that comes up the first thing in the morning. What thought comes in your head? If that thought is, I'm so sick of being where I'm at, or I'm extremely
that is huge.
Unhappy.
You have to get tired first. You really do. You know, it's really important that your value doesn't decrease based on someone else's inability to see your worth. Mm-hmm. And you have to believe that.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. We are going to go do something really cool that we do with our guests. And even, you know, it's kind of like a little empowerment or a little quote that happens. And, you know, hopefully you get a good one today. So here it is. It's called the Instant Karma Book. So open up to a random page and see what sticks out to you.
Ooh, there's a lot of things that are sticking.
What's the first one that came to you? First one.
Love the most difficult part
Boom.
Of yourself.
Boom. See? It's always what we're talking about.
I'm telling you. We just called God this morning and told him, please, just make them make sense, right?
Right.
So the message is to love the most difficult part of yourself.
That's a good start.
Wow.
And
what? How did that happen?
Yeah. I mean, that speaks depth, and it's all about that. It's like, don't hate on certain parts of yourself because you don't feel that they're right. You've got to love every single part, including the difficult parts.
Absolutely.
And you have to be careful how you speak to yourself because, you know, you're the only one listening.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, they're not the only one listening, though.
No,
we are, though. I get it.
No, when you're talking to yourself.
I'm kidding. I know.
Okay.
That was a little play on words. So anyways, we're only scratching the surface here with Ruby. We're actually going to have her back on for the next show here. We want to thank you guys for tuning in to Breakthrough with AJ Barrera with our lovely guest, Ruby. Ruby, can you let them know how they can get a hold of you through your Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, website, all that good stuff?
Yes. So on social media, my handle is @IamRuby. That's @IamRuby. And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and I've also got a website, www.iamruby. So it's www.iamru.by. Clever.
Right, I know. That's what I told her. I go like, that's unique. So thank you once again for being on the show, and you will be on the next show as our special little host here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are you ready for a breakthrough?
You've been listening to Breakthrough with AJ Barrera.